Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening and welcome back to Hour 2 of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Wow, it was a good interview. Josh is a nice guy, huh?
Yeah, he is.
Interesting to listen to.
Yep.
Dulcet tones. Is this a new man crush for you, Tim?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
He was a ruggedly handsome fellow when
we
saw him live.
He's got a little sense of humor. He managed to live through the attack that Andy Andrews threw at him.
Oh, that's
Frankenstein's
right.
Castle.
Yeah, Ghost Hunters International, he almost dropped his camera on Josh's head, right?
That's right. He's a manly man with good reflexes, and by God, I think I'm in lust.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I'm telling Chris Fleming you're cheating on him.
Well, you know, Chris is a cute guy, but there's no substance there. Josh.
No substance.
He's got substance. No, I'm kidding.
It's because you just think that because Fleming had all of his facial hair lasered off.
Yeah.
So he can always remain smooth like a Ken doll.
That's unnatural. So unnatural.
But he's still beautiful.
Shut up.
Well, we're going to go, speaking of beautiful, we've got Patrick Burns on the line with us. Good evening, Patch.
Aw.
How are you, buddy?
Doing, Dave?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming out here. Did you have a good time at the Queen Mary?
Of course. As always, you know, that place just continues to amaze me. Every time we go back there, the activity just seems to intensify more and more. And I don't know if that's just because we're getting really good at what we're doing or the spirits are starting to remember who we are.
No, I feel bad because I kind of lied to Sid. I said you were just going to be on for a few minutes to talk about Ghost Stock, but I'm going to change that real quick just because I witnessed with you one of the craziest and most insane experiences. You and me and those two strippers, man, that was... No.
Yeah,
there was
man.
We were in the pool, the first-class pool, where the little girl's ghost, Jackie, hangs around, and our friend Ellie was there, a few other people in our group. And now, the jury's been out for me on the K2 meter. I've seen it work for other people. I've never gotten it to work when I'm holding it. But I saw that you had two of them on the floor, and yours is set to beep, right? So it makes a beep, beep.
Right, yeah. Okay. Mine's been modified.
Right, so you've got two of them.
And it's playing from Pasadena Paranormal. They gave me one last summer at the Glen Tavern Inn event that we did with a switch hardwired into it, so you can use it for hands-free operation. And then a modification that I did to it myself just before the Queen Mary event was that I put a piezo element buzzer into the meter in wired in series with one of the LEDs, the second LED. So every time you actually get a hit on the meter, it makes an audible tone. So it's very handy in a dark environment, or you know, when you're not actually visually monitoring it, you can hear if you're getting activity.
Well, what I thought was insane was that you had two of them separated, but still within view of each other. They were good about a foot apart from one another. And as we were asking questions, they would the two K2 meters would simultaneously respond the exact same way. And then you could get it to bounce from K2 meter to K2 meter, saying, can you respond on this one? And it would reflect. And then can you do it on this one? And it would reflect on that one instead of it. And the conversations, it was just insane that you guys were doing that.
Yeah. I know. I was just totally floored.
Was that one of the weirder K2 experiences you'd had?
Definitely. And it, you know, we had a similar experience back in December with the K2 as well. You know, I was I was one of the biggest skeptics of the thing when, you know, I got my first one from Chris Fleming back at the Stanley event back in March. I was like, yeah, you know, we're probably bouncing the switch with our thumb.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, when you've removed the
human element, yeah.
You know, you've got your hands off of it. You know, it really makes you wonder, and it's you know, I've completely had to, you know, it's completely shattered my theory of operation as to how the thing worked. I'm just blown away by it.
Of them were simultaneously doing it, and nobody was touching them. You know, I would believe maybe one is faulty, but
right.
To see two of them responding to the exact same light level,
exactly
the exact same way. Over and over, that was unbelievable to witness.
And then and like you said, Dave, we had two of them that were a short distance apart, maybe a foot or two apart,
mm-hmm.
and it would bounce. We'd have activity on one, and then it wouldn't. It would be on the other one, and then vice versa. So you're talking about a highly localized electromagnetic disturbance, whatever's causing it. You know, this isn't going to be a broadband, you know, pulse like somebody's cell phone going off in their pocket.
Right.
And Ellie and I sat there for 2 hours, cumulatively, 2 hours throughout the night of investigations, and we sat there and we talked with Jackie. And it was just, you know, it still hasn't settled in with me. It still hasn't sunk in, the magnitude of it. I've been meaning to write it up in a blog, but I just don't even know how to get started because it's still such a profound, life-changing experience for me. At some point, I'm going to have to, you know, pen this down soon, but... it's still, I'm still trying to come to grips with what happened.
Right, amazing stuff. Well, you know, people get a chance to actually see you do this again live. They're going to be at Eastern State with us, and hopefully we'll get some action there. But the week after Eastern State Penitentiary is Ghost Stock.
Yep.
All right, so Ghost Stock 6. Let's hear about this. Tell us what's going on. Who's going to be there this time, and how can people sign up?
Well, it's our biannual. Paranormal conference that we host in beautiful and haunted Savannah, Georgia. Again, this is the sixth one that we've done, and we're still formulating the guest list right now. I know you said you're going to try to make it.
That's right.
Your schedule allows. We'll have Deborah Collard from NAPS there. We've just had Professor Dr. Alan Brown from University of Alabama, who's written a book. Couple of books on the Haunted South. I have just confirmed Michael and Marty Perry.
Oh,
Paranormals
excellent.
Are going to be there.
Yep, they are amazing.
That's another story for another time. But I was completely blown away by the reading that Michael did for me on the Queen Mary back in December. So I'm really, really excited to have them there. They're definitely the genuine article. I mean, you were telling me all about them. About, you know, you got to get a reading from these people. They're just going to blow you away. And sure enough, they sure did. You were there for that, too.
Oh, yeah.
And we're still working on some of the other guests for right now, but those are the ones that we have confirmed. And, you know, as of right now, so we'll just see where it goes. I think we've already got our favorite local Savannian, Mr. Murray Silver, has said he'll be back again for the fifth time. And a couple of local authors and tour guides from the Savannah area that really have experience investigating in the town itself.
You get to hang out with Haunting Evidence's own paranormal investigator, Patrick Burns.
Absolutely.
And that's pretty cool right there. Now,
and,
what's the cost? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and let me just add this. I haven't confirmed it. It's not written in stone yet, but I am... very close to having John J. Oliver confirmed for it. So you'll have, you go to Ghost Stock, we'll have two-thirds of the cast of Haunting Evidence will be in attendance. So John has said that he has that weekend.
Well, at least my two favorite thirds.
What's that?
I said at least my two favorite thirds will be there.
So, yeah, we're still working on that. John said he's
great.
Available that weekend, and we're going to just try and firm up the... the dates, and we're working out his travel schedule and everything, but he's wanted to come to Savannah for years, so hopefully it's going to happen this time.
Great. Now, how much is it, and how can people sign up for it?
$150 per person, or I believe there is a discount for couple registration, I think it's about 260 or 270 for a couple, for two people.
Okay.
And you do not need to be married. It does not need to be a significant other. If you can find somebody else that wants to go with you, and you can both split the cost of a dual registration,
sure.
You can do that.
Great.
And if people are interested in more information, details about the hotel, everything, they can go to ghoststock.com, GHOSTOCK.com.
Okay, and I'll put that up in our chat room right now so people can go to ghoststock.com. Beat you to it, Ben.
What? Hi, Ben.
Mine says first on here.
See, on mine, it's I'm first.
You cheater. Well, Patrick, I wish you a lot of luck with it. We'll be out there again. I know I'll be joining. Hopefully we can drag Timmy's sorry ass out there to Savannah this time and make him be a part of it with us. But you can count on me. I'll be out there to help you out.
Sweet. Looking forward to it, Dave, as always.
Great. Well, thank you, Patrick. And again, for anybody that's interested, you can go to ghoststock.com. That's GHOSTOCK.com. You can also check out more about Patrick Burns by going to ghosthounds.com. That's GHOSTHOUNDS.com. And, Haunting Evidence is filming right now. They're going to do 4 one-hour specials for True TV, which was formerly Court TV. You can keep watching your schedules for that. And we'll have Patrick on as the show's about to launch. So let's get to our next guest. Our guest here is the paranormal pirate himself.
Mr.
Sid Schultz, welcome to the show, sir.
Arr, glad to be with you.
Well, Sid, before we get started in this, I just want to take a moment to blow your horn, which sounds horrible, doesn't it? At our events, for all the listeners out there, we always like to give back to the community around us. So we find charitable causes that we can do charity auctions for, fundraising auctions. And, we've led them for the Eastern State Penitentiary Restoration Fund, Waverly Hills Restoration Fund, Rolling Hills Restoration Fund. This last December, we helped raise money for Shriners Children's Hospital at the Queen Mary. And one of the gentlemen that stepped up huge was Sid Schultz and his team from Pasadena Paranormal Research. Sid and his beautiful wife, Tricia, went out working for us to find people that were willing to donate beautiful autographed movie posters. And he locked in with a great lady that was very willing to donate and donated, I think, like 10, 11 movie posters and autographed pictures and everything, and helped us to raise over $13,000 for Shriners Children's Hospital. And when we were just back out here last weekend, I put out the call to Sid again and said, "Hey, Sid, is there any magic you can pull for me?" And like normal, he went to bat and came up with about 10 more movie posters. And this time, with his help and the other items, of course, that we had donated and the time of the celebrities, we raised over $17,000 for Haven House, which is the battered woman shelter in L.A. And it was a pet project of Erin Gray, the actress from Silver Spoons and Buck Rogers. And Sid, I just want to let everybody know out there what a gentleman you've been, and what a just a great friend that you and your team and your wife Tricia have become to Darkness Radio, and how much we appreciate you guys.
Oh, we appreciate you too. I mean, anybody doing it for it'd be you. I mean, we're in Hollywood, so I had to get out there and make some phone calls and try to get some autographs. And I reached out, and Ellie and Mark and Patty Moser were kind enough to say, "Sure, what do you need?" And they gave me a bunch of these posters, and actually you got to meet them at one of the events.
That's right.
And
to give the people an idea, I mean, we had one poster went for $1,000 autographed.
Incredible?
Another one for $800, one for $700, another one for $500. I mean, the movie posters autographed. And, which, is sadly still less than they normally get at eBay and things like that. But just the posters alone helped to raise, I think, close to $5,000 of the $17,000 that we donated. So I thank you, Darkness Radio. Tim, thanks you. Everybody involved in our show and at the live events, thanks the work that you guys do for us. And also, through the great work that you guys have done, you've introduced us to two more very dear friends, Michael and Marty Perry from SpiritArt.com, right? And they're part of your team. And aside from just loving you as a guy and thinking that you're an amazing person and a great personality, I'm always blown away when you're at the events and have your table set up with the technology that your team puts together and the diverse group that you've put together of paranormal investigators. I mean, you have probably one of the most insanely genius little builders and technicians I've ever seen Dennis, with all the stuff that he puts together for you guys.
We call him Data because we do think he built himself.
Yes, I would believe it. And then, of course, you've got Mike Lynn, Marty Perry. And why don't you tell us about some of the other team members that you have?
Well, I think another important team member is going to be Don Shy,
who
brought her aboard. We were missing a lot of the things that we were involved in. And, you know, I saw Don and what she was doing. I said, Don, we really need a videographer, a documentarian, and we'd like to invite you to our team. And she has fit right in. Her personality is straightforward. She's huge on the team. We actually just inquired, which we've been looking for 2 years, which was a marriage and family counselor. Somebody that can sit with a family and try to separate the different problems that might be, you know, the question always is it personal problems that are happening or creating paranormal problems? And she goes through that and you know, does the interviews for us. I really have to say that I miss a very important person. He's busy out doing his own thing. He was a very important part of this team that helped me create it, was Mr. Bill Murphy.
Right.
I don't think this team would have got legs without him. But he's still around. He's, you know, all the teams know who he is. He's still a very important part of our team. We do have Michael and Marty. I can't say enough about them. I did not really believe, being from my side, I had my experiences, that you could actually speak, you know, to the dead. And Michael and Marty have jumped through hoops, and they have told us things that no one else would know. You've experienced, other people have experienced them. And we're going to, you know, sometimes I'm afraid to call them, but they are a very important tool for our group.
I don't think you should feel bad. Marty always says Michael's a tool.
Yeah.
I mean, in paranormal investigating.
I mean, when that man starts to talk, he's just captivating because, you know the accent that he has and the things that are coming, as he's speaking of, you know, 35 years in the business.
Tim, you're not the only one with a man crush. Sid is over here drooling over Mike.
Huh? Yeah.
That's all right. I like his voice, too. Sometimes I just call him up in the middle of the night to hear him yell at me with a British accent.
He's got that Paul McCartney look, you know?
So now, with the group, how long has Pasadena Paranormal Research been together?
The team's been together 2 years.
Okay.
Basically, what happened was that I finally found out I couldn't do this alone. Trish and I couldn't do this alone. There was more things that need to be involved in what we were doing. We couldn't handle it all, so trying to reach out to those that have had experience in paranormal and the knowledge, what we're looking for, I put together, you know, this incredible team, and Gil right now has stepped up for me in Bill's place and has helped me hold this team together.
Excellent. And now, how long, though, had you been investigating in the paranormal before you ended up with PPRS?
I've been doing this for 8 years, and basically it was due to a personal experience.
Is that something you can share, or is it a little too personal?
No, actually, yeah, I can share. I can make it quick. I was actually working at a theme park here in Southern California, and it was a very slow day, beyond slow day, during, you know, what we call non-peak, maybe a 2,000-person day. And I was working at a ride training on it, and particularly this day, a couple came in, very slow, and they turned the corner. In order to see it, we have a monitor. As it turns the corner, we make sure they get to the next person safely. They passed, and they turned the corner, and then all of a sudden I saw this little girl run by. And it was like, okay, hang on just a second. The little girl's catching up with them. And the guy comes, what? I said, the little girl's catching up with. She turned into the same room they were at. I said, never mind, she's already there. He goes, who? I go, the little girl, she's already there. And he goes, what little girl? So needless to say, I waited for the couple to get off the ride. Only they exited. And the guy that I was working with, he goes, what were you talking about? And I said, well, I swore there was this little girl that just flew by me down the hallway and entered the ride, but, you know, I had to be wrong because she's not there. And he goes, you don't know, do you? I go, know what? He goes, we all see a little girl. Unfortunately, she passed with circumstances, a brain injury they were unaware of on the ride. And she's seen here all the time.
Wow.
So that just kind of opened up some things going, okay, how is this possible? You know, what are the circumstances that someone that has passed to come back or remain in a location?
Sure.
So it was, you know, I'm not a parapsychologist or gone to many classes. I've done it all myself. You know, Lord Auerbach, you know, you read all the books, you read everything you can, pick up the ideas where you're on the right track, and you go from there, and that's basically what I did.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. Sid, we'll be back more with you. We'll talk more about some of the investigations that you've done, some more of your personal experiences. And stick with us, and we'll talk more about some of the technology that PPRS is employing and how it can help in the field of the paranormal. We'll be back with more right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town. If you bleed from the ears while listening to Leo Sayer records, would it qualify as a paranormal experience? I thought so. Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. Ooh, that hurts.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town paranormal radio show.
Sing it.
I'm not going to do it.
Come on, you can do it. There you go.
I can't do it, dude. You're hurting me.
Maybe Sid could do it.
I don't think so. That dude's voice is deeper than mine.
See, go ahead, Sid. Try it.
I don't think I could possibly reach that note. Even on a good day.
Yes. All right, Sid. So let's talk. So you had your first kind of ghosty deal at work, which is kind of a unique story, huh?
Yeah.
Most people have it at home or when they were a child. So you had this experience, and that just kind of led you. Now, have you done Have you done any investigating of that spirit since then?
I've actually got in there a few times. They're actually remodeling the location right now. It's going to be a new ride come here in spring. And talking to the cleaners and especially the maintenance people, there's unexplainable things that are going on specifically with this car. You know, a lot of the liquid nitrogen will be turned off and emptied, and for some reason it will hiss and completely spit out a whole thing of liquid nitrogen when they know that they've, you know, bled the tank. The car will reset, and the arm bar will come up. So there's some things and incidents there that they've experienced just talking to them, knowing that something unexplainable, especially when you have professional technicians in there going, "What? That's impossible.
Huh.
Can't be done." You know, what some of the things that they're experiencing, and they double check and go, there's no reason why that would have done that. So it's, and people see her around there quite often. So I keep talking to them to see if they'll let us in to see if she wants possibly, with Michael Marty's assistance, to cross over, because that's our group's main concern.
Right, leaving her behind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now let's talk a little bit more. Now, what type of cases do you usually get called in on? Does your team get involved in?
We actually do a lot of home investigations. Some people that call us up and say they're experiencing, you know, the normal, typical reports. You know, they're hearing voices, lights will go on and off. You know, they hear the footsteps and stuff like that. We've even been inquired, our services and phone calls from some businesses that have never had even thought about having paranormal groups come in. So we feel honored about that. The Pasadena Playhouse invited us to come in to do an investigation in that location. Awesome facility. A couple big private places, and I could probably tell you off to the side, but I can't mention on the radio, that was an honor to be in. You know, one location said, yeah, you can come on in, but it's, you know, $10,000.
Wow.
So, but mostly we seem to get a lot of home investigations.
All right. Now, are you dealing with, or have you found a lot of issues dealing with more of the malevolent, or what people are calling demonic activity? Are you seeing a rise in that as well doing the investigations?
Personally, we're not. What we're finding through Michael and Marty is some of them are just really angry. They're misinterpreted as demons or evil. They're just, yeah, they could be a low-level entity, but not necessarily a demon.
Okay. Well, that seems to make sense. Yeah, I would guess not everything is always on the negative, and we've mentioned that at our events, that if somebody, you know, if your hair gets pulled or, you know, mm-hmm. bra snapped or whatever, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's Satan stalking your soul. It could just be that that's the only way they know how to, you know, get your attention. That's what their ability is, to reach out and touch someone, I guess, literally.
Yeah. And those people are just misinterpreting the, you know, the activity that they're experiencing as demon, you know.
Well, now, let me ask you this, Sid. How important do you feel technology is to the field of the paranormal?
Well, everybody's saying they want proof. Well, I mean, we all want proof. And unfortunately, I think a lot of the stuff that we're using is not going to capture what we're trying to get. but some of it will. Supposedly, the theory is that they give off energy, and that's some of the reason why we use this equipment, is to try to capture that. I think the equipment's very important, besides trying to debunk the rest of the activity that normally happens. And the way, in our case with Dennis, is that we're actually utilizing some of our equipment that he's coming up with. He likes to use the oscilloscope. It's a wand, and he plugs it in, and everything, actually, if you plug a headphone into it, gives off a signature sound. Recording the signature sounds from basic equipment, like refrigerators, your cell phones, and stuff like that, you're going to get a pattern. And what he's looking for is that unusual signal burst, hopefully at the same time we're receiving some kind of unusual, unexplainable activity. So I think the equipment is a very, very important piece into trying to prove what we're trying to get.
Do you find, though, that equipment can hinder your investigation? Do you guys ever find yourself so dependent on the equipment that you use that maybe you're not utilizing your own senses as well as you should?
Well, again, that's why you say it's part of my reason for my group. Some of them are, that's their specialty. That's what their job is.
Okay.
To make sure that they're honing in on that, on something that we might miss. But in our end, the equipment will always be there.
How do you utilize when you're doing your investigations so that people that are just learning and putting together their own teams and going out, how do you utilize the sensitives that you have on your team?
Well, Mike and Marty is a big upfront where we try to sit them down with the clients. First, you've seen what they do.
Right.
Like, they sit down and they'll actually do a reading with them, so they get to know that Michael and Marty do what they do. So when we come through with some activity, they may be able to explain what's going on, and they'll have more belief in Michael and Marty because they just sit there and told them about their grandfather, how he passed, the favorite things that he liked to do, his name. Becomes much more believable in that.
Well, now, a lot of people, you know, are kind of the opposite side, where they don't like their sensitives to know much about the location so that it doesn't taint. Do you ever, you know, what's your stance on that, and do you ever, you know, kind of keep them in the dark about what they're doing and going into investigation?
They are very much in the dark when it comes to it. They don't know any of the information when we go into a client's home. They specifically know that, you know, obviously we're inviting them somewhere. You know, I've made them jump through hoops, so there's not going to be any more places where there's no activity. So it's one of those things he does. He's even preferred, hey, why don't you just blindfold me, leave me in the car so I don't know where I'm at, walk me in the house to the location, and we'll start from there.
Okay. Do you have them do readings, or not readings, but do they chime in during the actual investigation itself, or do they just kind of take notes and do their own little shtick, and then, you know, you guys compare notes with the evidence that you caught to what they're doing?
At this point, what they'll do is they'll do a walkthrough and they'll write everything down. And then the information that we have will be separate. And throughout the investigation, if it's vital that he's feeling something that's important that we need to be in a different area, he'll tell us. So, you know, the Pasadena Playhouse was a particular good one. So it led us to an area that we needed to be in because we were in the wrong area and ended up experiencing some things particular that we wouldn't have because we weren't there.
All right, well, that's what I was going to ask next is, I mean, how often when they direct you to something do you then pick up on the activity that was going on at that new location that they send you off to? Is it a 50-50? Sometimes you pick up on it, sometimes you don't, or do you find that you're getting more of a hit by using a tool like a medium on a investigation like that?
It's when they're usually telling us to go in a place, we have to be fast because, you know, paranormal activity can move quickly.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we have people running from us. They're willing to communicate with Michael and Marty, but they see us coming in and they're wanting to leave the room. But it turns out a lot of the times...
A lot of the living people do that, too, at the events.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Before we can get the equipment set up and some of the stuff, it ends up being personal experiences to us, too. So they're saying, get in here. We end up having a personal experience real quick before we get some stuff set up, so... But it always...
You mean Michael and Marty can't make them hold off and act only when you have the video camera going?
On cue.
What the heck? Oh, my.
We got
music blasting here all of a sudden in the studio. I think we're haunted.
Yeah.
So when you're using them and you're doing the investigations and you're using your equipment, I guess what I'm trying to find here are the fundamentals for people that are putting together teams. Do you do a sweep without any or without anything maybe besides a video camera going, just to see if you get any personal experiences first?
I generally walk through with the client first to see what their experience and let them point out to us some of the areas that they're concerned about or what their experiences are located in.
When you've done the walkthrough, have you ever done the walkthrough and have a whole 8-beep minute? I mean, you know, where you're just doing the walkthrough and all of a sudden the vase starts shaking or you hear the through the wall or anything weird?
Haven't had anything like that happen yet.
Okay.
Not on a walkthrough.
All right. And then when you do the investigations, do you include the family? Are they allowed to be there for the investigation, or do you ask them to remove themselves from the investigation?
Well, the activities particularly around the family, so we like them to be present if they're willing to sit around and hang out with us.
Okay. And do you find when you're doing investigations like this as well, one thing that we've been mentioning, and, you know, we've had people like John Zaffis and everybody give us this advice to give to families that are suddenly having paranormal activity, do you look for new items that they may have purchased at garage sales or antique shops or thrift shops that, you know, may be bringing the entity in with them? And then do you request that they remove that item as well?
We ask them if they've gone antique shopping. There has been one particular case that we ran into where a situation where they collected nothing but antiques. The whole house was nothing but antiques.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. So, and there was a lot of paranormal activity that I call it paranormal because we cannot explain the activity that was happening in this home with any of our equipment or trying to recreate the things that happened.
What type of activity were you having occur?
Well, we were getting high EMF readings in this home, and we found out that it was due to the fact that the house was grounded all wrong.
And again, for people that are just tuning in and are not familiar, EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
Right.
And most electrical appliances, well, all electrical appliances and even your cell phone can put off an EMF field, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And that's why we try to use all this equipment that we have to go through the home first. Any man-made sources that may be interfering or creating the experiences that they're having.
Now, how often are you finding that could be a lot more of the case than an actual haunting? Is it just a lot of electrical leakage?
It's about 90% of our cases are debunked.
Really? 90%?
90, yeah.
Okay. All right. And what are the factors that you look for first when trying to debunk a case? What are the things that Pasadena Paranormal Research goes in and looks for?
A lot of it has to do with the age of the house.
Okay.
The older the house, the more things that they're going to experience. Old floorboards, the ceiling, you got to look for. You know, we have a pest control on our team that specifically looks for holes in any entrance that may, you know, for animals or vermin that may enter the house.
Wow, you even have somebody that's involved in pest control.
Yes. Yeah,
wow, that's awesome.
We have a certified electrician on our team to check the electricity out to make sure that it's running properly and you know, not giving out any high electromagnetic fields or beyond dangerous. A normal person.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's where it comes down when you say all our team members. We feel like a home inspection team a lot of times. My phone's beeping.
Do you actually reach out where you try to? What you're saying, your phone beeping, does that mean it's about ready to die on you here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what we can do is we'll take a quick break. We'll call you on your cell number. Is that right? Okay, we'll give you a call back, give you a chance on that. So stick with us. We're going to take our quick break now. We'll come back with more questions for Sid from the Pasadena Paranormal Research Society.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness. On the edge of town. Try not to fall asleep. We'll only give you nightmares. Welcome back to The Darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're glad you are. Remember, we're here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight Central Time. And if you can't listen to us live, always check out our archives. Within about 48 hours, Timmy D will have them up for you to download. You can actually even go to planetparanormal.com and click on the Darkness Radio link. We have the archives there. You can also subscribe to our podcast so that way you never miss an episode. As soon as a new one's up and posted, they'll actually alert you to it so you can download it right into your iPod or MP3 players. Would like to make a quick mention. We had Dean Haglund, the actor-comedian, out at the Queen Mary event last week, and he did a comedy improv show and brought up on stage with him for the show Jason Hawes, Grant Wilson from the Ghost Hunters, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, and Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, and incorporated the guys into their show. It was hilarious. Everybody there loved it. There are copies of the DVD available by going to DeanHagland.com. That's H-A-G-L-U-N-D. Again, that's DeanHagland.com. Pick up your copy of the DVD. It's well worth purchasing. It was funny as hell, and you get to see your favorite ghost hunters in funny and embarrassing situations. Also, I want to mention, as one of our new sponsors, Chill Pack, which is also run by Dean Haglund. He actually just won a silver medal for this invention for your computer. And what it is it's basically like an ice pack that goes underneath your laptop, but it has a special buffering on it so that no condensation gets onto your computer, but it will cool down the CPU, which makes it go faster, so you can actually make your laptop a laptop again. I know mine gets hotter than hell. I bought mine last December from Dean. I don't ever use my laptop at home without it now. It's a great item. I would highly recommend picking up, and you can get that and get information about it at DeanHagland.com. And again, that is reusable. Throw it back in the freezer when you're done using it. It's good for about a 2 to 3 hour freeze, and then you can go right back into using it again. It's just really awesome. It's hard to explain, but once you get one, you'll swear by them, and you'll be giving them out as gifts for next Christmas. So pick them up again at DeanHagland.com, and don't forget to look for the Queen Mary comedy show with Jason, Grant, Chris, and Patrick. We're going to get back into our show this evening. We're talking to Sid Schultz, the director of the Pasadena Paranormal Research Society. And Sid, why don't you tell us about, with all the experiences and places that you've investigated, what is one of the creepiest experiences that you've had yourself investigating? And do you ever get afraid or feel like you're in over your head when you're out on an investigation?
No, I'm actually, there's been some people that have been with me that are actually wondering why I'm the only one left standing there talking to them. No, I don't get scared. I mean, they were human at one time. It's the your point. You got to ask yourself the same question if they're not scared. I think the most biggest incident that I had, I still have video and haven't released it, was at the Stanley. Somebody was provoking somebody or a spirit, or we thought it was a spirit in the hallway, and I was just videotaping it, and he got pretty aggressive with it, you know, calling it some names, taking in some other worse names, and this went on for about 5 minutes, and it came to a boiling point where I thought, okay, I've got to videotape this guy, because whatever it is, if it's here, he's just going to let loose on this guy. Well, he let loose on me. He grabbed my hand on the video camera and bent it backwards and threw my camera out of my hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's the spirit, not the guy that was provoking the spirit.
Right, right, okay. Right. So, and it was just some unforeseen energy that it just built up, and I don't know why he took it out on me, but I wish he would have took it out on the other guy. So that was pretty intense.
All right, so now, but creepy-wise, what's some of the weirder stuff that you've had happen at the investigations?
Some of the creepier stuff, that's where we had some, it was the Stanley again down below where we were investigating in the employee's cafeteria, with Chad Kulik. We were just down there. We're trying to communicate or speak to them and talk to them, get them, you know, to communicate with us. I hate that word. I keep saying it. I like talk. But anyway, I heard him out in the corner. And then just the air changed in the employee room. And then Chad goes, did you hear that? That was footsteps. And I go, yeah, but I thought that was you. He didn't move. We heard 4 or 5 distinct steps come towards. The next thing you know, the table that was right over by us slid and hit the wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 2 of your best examples were on a Darkness Radio event.
Yeah.
You got to like the sound of that, Sid. Way to go. And for those people that are just interested, we are going back to the Stanley, and we're going to be out there again this November 2008. We have Jason, Grant, Chris, Patrick, and then a whole new lineup of speakers from Father Andrew Calder to, I believe, Michael and Marty Perry are joining us at the Stanley this year. We've got Jeff Ballinger and more, so check it out. And we've always had insane activity when we go out there. But, yeah, so you would definitely say that's a good place to investigate, Sid?
it's beyond great. I mean, just the things that are happening. We call it the Stanley effect. It's just there's something that the energy that this place gives off is incredible. It's just you're going to be disappointed at all. So
very cool. Well, let me hear too. Let's talk about some of the different equipment that you're using now. And I know that you were mentioning the what'd you say? It was the oscillator?
Yeah, oscilloscope.
Okay, that's easy for you to say. Oscilloscope. What other items? Now, I noticed that you had video cameras, night vision cameras, and you had higher density night vision IR lights. Where can people get that stuff?
Actually, if you just look for it, Google it. It's online. Dennis buys most of our stuff, and I say, Dennis, this is where we're looking for. And he goes, and he looks up the hardest name to ever find, eBay.
Oh, sure. And he finds most of the stuff there for you?
Yeah, he finds most of this stuff that we're looking for right on eBay. And if it's what we need, he will customize it to our needs, like the K2 that he's done.
Right. Now, I was going to mention that a lot of the people are looking for K2 meters that have been modified with the switch, and you guys offer those up for sale, correct?
That's correct. We actually have on the site, they were on eBay, but we're getting ready to take that down, and we're going to make them a $60 flat rate plus the $850 for shipping for the K2 with the site twitch.
All right, and people can order those where and how?
They're going to be available hopefully within the next month by the end of March right on our site at www.pasadenaghosthunters.com.
And let's explain again, what exactly is a K2 meter? What's it actually created for, Sid, and then how is it being used?
Well, it's actually created by, of all plates or all things, it was the K2 manufacturer. It's called the Safe Range Meter. It was actually to be able to just detect ground leakage in your home from microwaves, your computer and stuff. People spend a lot of time in the computers, and they just wanted to make sure that this device was made to make sure that the electromagnetic fields was not too high in the areas that you roam in your homes that make you sick. So okay. That's what this device was. And they actually made dog collars and training materials for animals.
All right. And now what are you able to do with it on a paranormal investigation? Explain how they're used.
Well, they're actually used in several different ways, as you've seen.
Right.
One is actually detect the EMF. Two, it's also been seen used to communicate with spirits that are possibly communicate with the spirits that are there. I've witnessed this, and usually with the equipment that we have, we can actually try to pick up the frequencies that are coming in to eliminate the possibilities of any outside interference. Cell phones are the biggest one, because within probably 7 to 8 feet from the K2, if you're receiving an email, it's going to go off.
Right.
So with the equipment that we have, we try to eliminate that, and it can be used supposedly for communications. We've actually tried this a bunch of times, and one time we were actually successful in a home where the loved one was trying to communicate, you know, the family member was trying to communicate with a loved one, and it specifically asked them, if you're here, please make this device that I have sitting here on the bed go off. It went off. Hmm. And so she asked her to do it again, you know, and it did it again. And the newest time was actually with Patrick and Dennis down in the cargo hold.
What do you consider is probably the most needed equipment when you do an investigation, especially for new teams?
I think some of the basic equipment is just to have a good camera that you're very familiar with. Know the ISO, know the shutter speed, so you're not going to have a lot of this false positives that people are getting. A simple voice recorder. People are
explain that too, real quick. Let's go back. I'm trying to give this little 101 class, so everybody that's new that's listening, what is a false positive?
Well, a false positive may be something to where the shutter speed actually takes too much time, and like set 5 to 10 seconds before it actually snaps the picture. In the meantime, it's actually capturing everything it's seeing within that 10 seconds, and somebody could walk in front of the camera, before this picture snaps, and it's going to look like a spirit or a ghost or somebody walked right across your camera, and you can see right through them, or a flash off a mirror or an earring that looks like a floating light.
Okay.
So those are the type of false anomalies that people usually get.
All right. What do you think are some of the best tools out there right now for people to pick up? Now, you were saying a good camera, digital audio recorder. What do you think? First of all, let's go back to camera. Digital cameras or film cameras? Which ones are you guys getting better results with?
Well, actually, both. I think some of the better results we got off were off film. We're not getting much off digital. Ours have always seemed to be film, and not only that, it's the question of can it be tampered with through Photoshop,
mm-hmm.
or negatives cannot. So, I mean, it seems like some of our better evidence is coming across on film.
Now, the other thing, though, to look at is, and what are your thoughts on this? You know, so many of the places you take your film to be developed now is, you know, a one-hour lab run by a pimply-faced teenager who doesn't care if your pictures are going to turn out. And that could be, you know, people say, well, look, but the anomaly's on the negative. Well, if there was a mistake and it was not processed properly, then the negative will be adversely
Absolutely.
Affected,
Absolutely.
Which will affect the picture. How do you rationalize that as well?
Yeah, that's actually happened, too, because Trish was the one that actually asked the lady behind the counter, how long have you been doing this? Oh, probably 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay, are you familiar? You know what you're looking for when you develop the pictures. You know, what's your process? And she made sure she knew the process, but there are some things sometimes that where they'll accidentally scratch, you know, the picture coming out, and then the negative, not so much. So, you know, you got to explain to them also that you want every single picture, because there was, you know, times where they're, oh, this one's blacker, this one's got a weird thing coming across the screen, they don't want that one. So you have to explain to them that what you're looking for specifically, you know, do you want every
last Now, that's
single
a great
picture?
Point, because I totally forgot about that, and that's an excellent point to bring up. To tell them you want every single picture, because as you mentioned, a lot of the photo labs, if a picture does not, in their opinion, turn out, they just mm-hmm. discard the picture.
Awesome.
So you'll never see it and didn't even know that you might have, and it might have been exactly what you're looking
exactly
for.
Exactly what you're trying to capture.
Right.
It's now in the trash can at the Save-On.
Wow, that is an excellent point. I didn't ever think about that. That's a great point. Thank you, Sid.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now recorders, audio, digital, or the old cassette, which ones are you finding better?
Both. We've actually, you know, captured evidence on both. We use analog recorder, an old Sony, you know, the mini disc tape players. We use several, you know, the digital ones.
Mm-hmm.
I've even asked Dennis, I said, why don't we, I know this sounds weird when I told him this, but he liked the idea. So why don't we even go back to some of the equipment that they used when they first captured it? Old reel-to-reel.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to acquire a reel-to-reel and try to do some experiments with
Isn't
that.
The problem now that you'd run into that is the only reel-to-reel tape that you're going to find really is going to be used and refurbished, because they don't make reel-to-reel tape anymore. Is that right, Tim?
No, you can still find it at Radio Shack.
Brand
yeah.
new reel-to-reel?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. It's not the refurbished crap. Okay.
No, there are certain companies also that will sell it to you wholesale.
Wow. All right. Good to know. So that is another way. Yeah, of course, a lot of people don't know that. But, yeah, some of the earliest EVP evidence was picked up on reel-to-reel when I think it was a priest was doing choir music and things like that, and he played it back and was getting all kinds of crazy anomalies and voices and his father and things like that. So definitely interesting. So, yeah, and so you guys are looking at explaining that. But a good little audio recorder. Does it need to be a real expensive one, Sid, or can you get by with a cheap audio recorder?
You can get by with a cheap audio recorder. It's just a matter of your surroundings and controlling your surroundings. So, you know, you want to make sure that it's not contaminated. Everybody needs to cooperate when you're getting ready to do it. You know, that's the only thing that needs to happen. But inexpensive voice recorders, not a problem.
Okay. All right. Now, do you think people should have things like K2 meters and grid patterns and all? You know, I mean, you guys have got some insane product. But, I mean, what, you know, really good merchandise that people can start off with are just the basic stuff. Is that what you're saying?
When they're first getting started, I mean, we had to start the same way. We started out, you know, with what we could handle and worked our way up. And then as more serious you get, the more involved, the more money you want to spend. But if people are doing this, they want to have some fun, you know, check out your events, grab a voice recorder, grab a camera, and go have fun.
All right, that seems fair enough. And then now, we have about 3 minutes left. What do you think for new teams that are putting themselves together? You seem to have a very compelling team. Give a recommendation again. What are the different team members that you have? What are the specialities? And how did you go about finding people in all these different fields to put onto your team?
I started out with meetup.com. And it was basically an open forum where basically, you know, people could come in and we were given their experiences, their knowledge of paranormal investigating. It's just that we didn't limit it. I actually have one member that worked, you know, we've had him aboard, you know, teaching him new ways of paranormal investigating. He is, he's our pest control, but he was a very vital and important piece of tool of what we wanted to do, but we're teaching him. So we brought him in. Once we found the people, we had enough people, we, you know, it's because the group can grow to 40. So you're trying to find the right amount of people that you can take into someone's home, you know, so you can enter their home without overwhelming them.
Right. All right. So you've got counselors, pest control people, electricians. Did you say you had a carpenter on your team?
We have, yeah, an electrician on our team. He's all, you know, certified more or less handyman, carpenter, roofer, private investigator. We also have a CSI crime scene investigator on our team also.
Wow.
So she's the one that basically helps us make, we process a home, so we before an investigation and after to see, you know, some, you know, our evidence, especially if rooms that people are experiencing anything, it's don't touch it. It's a hot set is basically the way we treat it. Don't touch it. So that way if people are hearing sounds, we can go back and compare pictures later.
So. All right. Fair enough. Well, I know we're coming up almost about done. Is that right, Tim, here? It's going by on us quick. We have about a minute left. If people are interested in dealing with teams, what do you think are the most important things that they should be aware of before they get involved in doing the paranormal investigating?
First of all, they need to be prepared to deal with each other. You need to sit with each other, and if you have a disagreement, work it out. Everybody has an opinion. No one is right in this field. We have theories, but there's no concrete evidence on how these things, these type of things happen. So you have to have an open ear. Work as a group, willing to work things out with each other before you come to a conclusion or a decision and blog it up on MySpace.
Right.
You know?
Okay. So that's, yeah, that's important. And then what about, you know, only got about 30 seconds left, but what about going out and helping the families? What should people be prepared to do?
They have to be prepared to become part of that family because they're going to tell you your problem, not just the paranormal problems, the other problems that are happening with them. So you have to be prepared to be patient with them, be willing to have that phone ring at 3 o'clock in the morning, them talking about the experiences that they had. And then once you solve their problems, they're going to want to be your friend. You've made a new friend.
Sure. It's almost like my big fat Greek paranormal wedding, right?
Right.
Become a part of them. Well, Sid, I want to thank you very much for spending time with us tonight. I wanted to kind of do this little team setup for a while, and you're the first one that came to mind with the team that you've put together and the amazing work you guys do. So thank you for sharing your insights with us and being a part of it. And if people want to reach out to you, how can they get in touch with you, Sid?
It's PasadenaGhostHunters.com or it's MySpace-PPRS team.
All right, great. Well, thank you very much for spending time with us, and thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate it, Sid. You've been a great great guest and a great friend to the show. We'll be back again next week with a brand new show, working on a couple of controversial topics. We'll be mentioning that and putting it out on the site this week to let you know once we've hammered it all out. I hope you'll tune in. We'll be back with you more next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.